Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host. Our lovely news lady Victoria is away this evening, so it's just you, me, and two incredibly talented singer-songwriters who have been heating up the Miami music scene. SJ Acoustic and Joshua Stedman, they're good friends in real life and now making some excellent new music together. So go grab a Chardonnay or drink of your choice and a snack, and let's begin to relax. I have a whole 23 minutes of brand new music, and starting us off will be SJ Acoustic with Coffee.
Cold fingers walking on sheets of ice. Perfect strangers all left to their own devices. Just trying to make it through. Heavy coats in a smoke-filled room. Darkwood floors with colors of spring. Slip through the groove. Just trying to make it through. Eyes barely open, running down the field. Catching bullets with teeth while the girl threw God wheels. Just trying to make it through. Thank you. sorrow, come again, one another song of praise. Just try to make it through. Hopes and dreams held high in the air, a fading destiny tucked away under a big red chair. Just try to make it through. Soft lows wave to hard goodbyes. A grass that's greener for as long as time stays on the side and never makes it through. Wait, wait, there's still time to trade this coffee for fresh eyes. If we get lost, we can try to paint a map and hang it on the sky.
With coffee, Mr. SJ, I have a bunch of discerning women in the chat room right now, and the consensus is that is some of the sexiest, most relaxing music they've ever heard. So kudos to you. How are you, my friend?
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you to everybody. It's a really nice compliment, and I appreciate that. And I'm doing great, Michael. It's great to be with you again.
Great to be with you again, absolutely, and I'm so excited that both you and Josh are going to be here too. But before I bring him on the line, what's been going on with you? What's been the consensus? You've been back in the studio. Thanks again for all the new music. You know I can you know I love it.
Oh, well, you're most welcome anytime, and thanks for all your support and encouragement. It really means a lot, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. And you guys have been great. And we soft released the new album in at the end of May. We've been doing sort of soft PR and marketing since then, and doing a lot of gigging in the Florida, South Florida area, because the first half of the year, and we can get into it with Joshua. We were on the road out west and all across the country. So what's been going on is we're just getting ready for I guess what they call a hard release in 2012, and I'm excited to announce that there's going to be some more new music. We're going to do a fuller version of the album Coffee. You just played the title track, obviously. So that's what we're doing right now. That's what's going on.
Well, fantastic tunage, and Joshua Stedman, glad to have you back at Home with Victoria. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Michael. Thank you again for having me. It's great to be on the show with you and SJ. And it's been a pretty exciting year. And South Florida's getting a whole bunch of us in the recent months. And I've been really excited to be sharing the music with the Miami area and online with the rest of the world. And it's great to be back with you. I always have a good time having a chat with you. So this is an exciting evening for me.
Well, fantastic. I was watching a lot of the YouTube videos from Colorado and everything. I so wish I had you guys in the room with me. We could have a shot of Jack Daniels and chat about some good Colorado stories. But Colorado really, really loves you up there.
Yeah.
That was
an exciting adventure. I mean, we really didn't know it was going to happen until it almost didn't happen. And it was one of those things where SJ and I were talking, and we just looked at each other. We're like, "Do you want to make this happen?" and we got the mutual nod. And next thing you know, we're out in Colorado for 2.5 months and touring around. And Jack Daniels was a pretty familiar event, so it maybe kind of feels like we are in your living room there with you, Michael.
Absolutely. I've learned that that's the singer's love is the Jack Daniels. So it's been pretty fantastic. I don't want to go ahead and screw things up here. I got so much music to play, and I'm really, really excited. I'm going to go into Josh, The Craving. Fantastic. You sent it to me today. I took it out for Tangled. Still one of my favorite songs, Tangled is, though. But The Craving is a fantastic song, and there's a little bit of a story behind that.
Yeah, the story is that that was kind of the first song that made it off the fingertips from the guitar and off the pen onto paper, and it was a story about a friend of mine who invited me to come down and play one song in the middle of his set at the old PBG in New York, and I came down and I didn't really know what to expect. It was the first time I was going to play my own stuff live in front of an audience, and I was really kind of wearing my heart on my sleeve, and I stood up there on the stage, had no idea what to expect, and I didn't really know if I was going to be able to pull it off, and I didn't know what I was going to feel like. And luckily, there was this there was silent muse and shadows who I never met, and the person I connected with that made me feel that fire between stage and audience. Putting my guitar on the shelf. So I kind of owe the rest of my music career to her. I never met her, but she was my silent dude in the shadows. I rewrote the lyrics of the song to describe what happened that night and how it felt, and I kept the music, so it's kind of a momentous song for me.
Well, I'm going to let you go ahead and get inside. It sounds like you're at the airport, but you get inside, and we're going to give a listen to The Craving. And this is Joshua Smith.
On my tongue, torn red couches, never once seen the sun. Stale perfume, tags on the bathroom stalls. 30 years of history line the backstage hall. Got the call tonight, last minute opening. Friend asked me if I've got any songs to sing. 6 train down to CB with a broken string, and my heart sliding down my sleeve. Somewhere deep inside, there's a head. Halo, candles do a dance between silhouettes and shadows. Old guitar in hand, lonely microphone stand. Crowd's a little loud, waiting on the headline band. Then the faces turn and the eyes burn to make my soul ignite in the midnight. Supernova on the cusp, floating into stardust. Letting go as I become my dream. Oh. In my dreams, I see the
The Craving, my new favorite. Wow, fantastic tunage, my friend.
Thank you. And for the record, I think I am inside. I turned down the air conditioning.
There we go.
I don't know if that was the problem.
Excellent. Hey, let's talk about the Miami music scene. The one thing I love about doing this show is that I have people from the New York scene, people from the LA scene, now people from Alabama and Nashville, and dealing with the PR people and the artists themselves. Each area is distinctly different as to the type of audience they're serving and everything like that. Let's start with you, SJ. How do you perceive the Miami scene?
Well, you know, the Miami music scene is a bit eclectic. It certainly doesn't I don't know if you can talk about it without talking about the South Florida music scene, because Miami music scene is a bit niche. I think that if you've been able to connect with the close-knit music community, which we have down here, which is really amazing, then that's great, and you might be able to you know, kind of break into some venues and connect with people and fans and make new fans, etc. But you know, there's also kind of still Miami is a long way from being, I guess, a true live music city. You know, still the red carpets and velvet ropes and the mentality of trying to turn a certain amount of people through the door. You know, with loud, you know, sort of club music and DJ kind of thing is, it sort of still dominates Miami. So, you know, it's kind of a long, I could go on forever, but I think there's a lot of really positive things about the Miami music scene. It's come a long way since I started gigging seriously down here, and, but there's a long way to go to compare it to the same thing, you know, in Nashville or LA or New York or something. So.
Right. Josh?
Yeah, I've actually been pleasantly surprised by it. I didn't really know that Miami was going to turn out to be such a close family. And SJ's right, there is a difference between Miami and South Florida. Miami's kind of a microclimate in terms of the music scene compared to the rest of the city, I mean the state. But I've been pleasantly surprised by the fact that people down here, especially the musicians, are so supportive of the other musicians. There's almost a complete lack of competitiveness that one might see in other cities because of the overabundance of musicians trying to fit the same slot or the same venue or, you know, and get notoriety from a particular venue. You know, down here, it's actually so super supportive that you're encouraged to write, collaborate, share the stage with others and even see each other out and about, you know, supporting each other's other performances. You know, I know plenty of musicians down here who actually will go to another musician's show just to say, hey, man, you know, keep it up. Good for you. Thanks for playing. And we support. And, you know, which has been super encouraging down here. You know, I know friends in the L.A. scene and a couple in the national scene. And some of the remarks I get are that, yeah, you can be found, you can be seen, you can be, somebody could maybe discover you, but, you know, are you really playing quality shows every time you're going out? And, you know, there's going to be a lack of that no matter where you go, but they feel like you're traveling all over the place, you know, trekking 45 minutes from the beach down to Hollywood in L.A., and, you know, you may only have a couple people come out to support you, and they stumbled in there by accident. And, you know, you're doing that time and time again, and that, you know, it can eat at you after a while when you're really, you know, a trying musician and you're putting your heart and your soul into your music and your act and your show. Down here, we certainly have shows where nobody shows up, but once in a while, even the solo shows at, say, Van Dyke Cafe on a Monday, you know, we'll get a crowd of 7 to 10 people, but they'll be the best people you've ever want to play for. And,
right.
You know, that and they weren't expecting it out of Miami because it's not known for its music scene. It's known for its electronic and hip-hop scene as of the last 10 years. And so, you know, it's a pleasant surprise when people get to see some real live music that comes from the heart, and I think it shows.
Yeah. Would you both agree, though, that they're actually listening crowds? I mean, seriously, they're not clanging around with their beers and, you know, trying to pick up things. They're actually sitting listening to your music versus, you know, some of the techno crap that's out there.
Well, I think, Michael, that can definitely be said for the venues where at least Joshua and I kind of both have an informal policy of playing there, you know. Certainly, you know, Miami is a city that's known for its partying and for people just out and having a good time and chatting it up. And, you know, you could definitely, and I have done it, and I know Joshua's done it too, where we've booked, you know, a pub or a bar, and it's just like, you know, everybody expects cover music, and they expect to scream over you. And you know, we've all been there. I understand that. So, you know, that happens everywhere in every city. I think that Joshua and I kind of, at this point, we really, I think we're, I don't want to speak for him, but I think we're on the same level. We really, you know, we're lucky that we're being asked to play at these certain venues, but we really like to play at venues where people do come to listen. They come specifically to listen to live music, to listen to vocals, to listen to lyrics, you know, to listen to people who put time into their craft and who write music and sing from their hearts and their souls and their stories and their experiences. And truly try to put on a good performance that's not hidden behind all kinds of other stuff, you know, and then trying to compete with the audience. So we're very lucky that at least I am at this point in Miami. Very rarely will I play a place where I know that's not going to be the case. So.
Right. Well, that's why the two of you are playing on At Home with Victoria tonight, because we are a listening crowd. I want to give a quick shout-out to the everybody in Chad Guest 3000, Marbin, our producer, Kelly21 just down the street. My sister's tuning in all the way from Lethbridge, Alberta, Michelle Stegan, and Stephen McGraw sitting in the bedroom. Sandy at Sea was certainly here, but she's having computer problems. But, yeah, we are a listening crowd, very discerning, and I have roughly 171 listening to us, actually, that actually dialed in to listen to us. So we're getting a lot of people to listen
great
to you fantastically. So, SJ, I want to go back to you. We're going to go ahead and play your next one. Tonight You Were Perfect. Now, you did some collaboration on this one.
Yeah, it's one of the few songs that I've recorded and released that I didn't, you know, I wasn't the sole writer on. And, you know, it was originally written by very Peter Finley. And he had it in more of a British alt-rock version. I wrote the beautiful lyrics to that song. It was one song where I connected with that someone else wrote, and I felt that I could connect with it at such a level that I could sing it and sing it from the heart because I felt it applied and I could connect with it. And so I tweaked it a little bit here or there. I wrote the acoustic arrangement, recorded it, and it features a friend, Ruti McNai, on cello, who's a former New World Symphony, and so it's it was very, I'm very happy with it. You know, it's a sweet song and it's a beautiful song, and I was just glad that I was able to find beat and heal up beat. Great.
Yeah, great. This is SJ Acoustic with.
Got my dreams worked out. There's nothing more I would do to change. And now, dancing in the rain, I wonder if I ever I won't leave you. wandering. If the words I say I mean, well, I do. Tonight you are perfect. You may just be a missing piece of a puzzle that I can't complete. Tonight you are perfect. Extraordinary how you must have read my mind. I saw your face already and pictured it a million times. I just wanted you to know you're better in real life. I've got my dreams worked out. There's nothing more I will do to change you now. Tonight you are may just be the missing piece of a puzzle that I can't complete. Tonight you are perfect to me.
Night, you were perfect, buddy. A cello and the, oh, buddy, good tune, good tune. The women in the chat room, I have a bunch of sweaty faces, believe it or not. A little emoticon with the sweat drawing off. So you're doing something right, buddy. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. That's great. That's great.
How was it like working with Rudy?
Oh, it was great. You know, she's a brilliant cellist. Grew up in Israel and came to the States and was schooled in different conservatories and then played with the symphony. And, she's just amazing. One of those rare finds where, you know, she can obviously read anything and play it, but she can play by ear and improv as well. And you don't find that so often in a classically trained musician, even at her level. And she's brilliant. So she was able to work with me and my engineer and our collective production team and really come up with, you know, what we thought was a pretty beautiful cello feature.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I want to go back to the chat room. I want to mention real quickly, smile to Gina, to you, from California is logging in. So we have Canada, California, Nashville. I have the UK. I have Atlanta. I have Portland. Howdy, Portland. Anyways, want to go ahead. I have a question actually from, let me just go ahead and find it, from Gina. Is there mechanical enhancements on your voice? Gina, that's a stupid question. There is no mechanical enhancements. But SJ, you take it first, then we'll go to Josh.
No, there are not. There's not. I mean, you know, whenever you go in and you release something that needs to be what the whole industry now views as industry standard, obviously your takes have to be clean. Depending on the kind of music you do, you know, release and play, it is, you know, my vocals are pretty raw. Everybody cleans up things around the edges, does takes, and there's certain things that you do in production that, you know, tweak things here or there. But those are things, and you add little effects like reverb and delay, and you do some things like that, which is what everyone's ear now is accustomed to for listening to, you know, high-quality studio productions on radio for the last 30 years. But other than that, you know, I try to keep my stuff pretty raw. It's you know, it's acoustic singer-songwriter folk music, you know, borderline light adult contemporary. So I don't try to soup it up with too much, you know, enhancements.
Right. Josh, to you?
Well, you know, for the recording aspect for Untangle, the album, you know, I spent about 6 weeks doing most of the recording. And one of the things that we, my co-producer and I, Alan Tobin, were kind of proud about is that we accessed an analog recording studio in Brooklyn, New York, to do the bass and drums. And the advantage of having an analog studio is that you're using natural compression. It's a little technical tidbit that, you know, when you go digital, when you hit that zero mark, you cut. When you hit zero mark in analog, you've got a little extra dB window where you can get natural compression, which sounds much truer and build a lot more body in the album. And yeah, we used some keyboards and we used some other sounds, but we never took out the true performance of the musicians that came on board to work with me. And I had some fantastic musicians and feel very fortunate that they were interested in playing with me. And we always made sure that the keyboards were prominent, the guitars were prominent. You know, anything that we did that was electronic was not was designed by us and put into a background use, not a foreground use.
Absolutely. Glad to see you join the chat room, Joshua. These are your ladies, so you be the representative for you and SJ. They're all riled up. I think they're half in the bag, but they're good friends of mine, so I hope they are. But
yes, I'm
anyways,
they keep singing.
Absolutely. What's it like working together? I mean, the two of you are close friends and everything, but it takes a specific dynamic. I know working with Victoria, you have to really kind of know what each other is going to do before they're going to do it. So let's go to Josh with that. What's it like working with SJ?
Actually, it's been easier than most duo dynamics, I would say. When you're an artist, you know, a lot of artists I know, and I speak for myself and possibly SJ, you need some of your own space to create. You need to get into your own meditative space alone, and so sometimes working with somebody else can be taxing because you want the art to really come through naturally and authentically. And, you know, it's tough to have a second voice in that process. You know, it's almost like having too many cooks in the kitchen. But luckily for SJ and myself, we really respect each other's artistic space. And so that in combination with the fact that we have different styles that merge well together, as some people say, we kind of come at the same project from two different angles. And so we, you know, like any good partnership or, you know, even in business as it would be, you know, each person brings their own value to the table, and that's what makes the whole the whole. And we're not competing for the same type of art, the same type of space. You know, we really do have, we have crossover, but we are not the same type of artist. And so that allows us, I think, to function synonymously and in a synchronicity that's maybe tough to find elsewhere.
Yeah, and just the blend of the two voices together are brilliant. Now, I'm going to go ahead to play Josh your song "Fool I've Been," but when we get back, you're going to hear some exciting news that Josh and SJ have to go ahead and share. A nice little collaboration working up down the Miami coast, and it's not at the Van Dyke this time. So let's give a listen to Joshua Stedman, "Fool I've Been," and stay tuned for the info on it on the flip side.
Fool I've been to think I had the up.
You know, it's the only way to become a non-fool later on.
yeah, that's a really good point. So the song was, pardon me, the song was basically about an old crazy friend of yours?
The song was about more of the relationship that I watched a best friend of mine go through, and it was totally based on vanity, and that was their excuse for calling it love. And so it was one of those songs that it was so prevalent to me to watch that occurring that it was a one day right for this song. It happened right on the same day, and it wasn't really until I started playing it, started working on it in the studio, that I was reflecting on it and realized that, you know, something this happens to me and has happened to me and maybe is happening to me right now. I think I better reflect on this song and realize that who I'm writing about is really me.
Yeah.
So it became powerful that way.
Yeah, it's the old I'm a mirror thing kind of a deal. But let's go to SJ for a second, and let's talk about the Lowe's Hemisphere Lounge in South Beach. Some exciting news there. You shared with me today that I'd like you to go ahead and share with our listeners. But you guys are actually teaming up, which is fantastic news in my eyes. I think you guys are fantastic together.
Oh, thank you. It's very exciting. We got back from touring around about the country, coast to coast, I guess, and we started playing at Lowe's. We got booked, and Randy, who's a great singer, is a great supporter of of live musicians in South Florida work hard, and he pushed us onto the Lowe's scene. It picked up fast. We got such a great response, and we just were doing the shows together, just kind of like how we were doing across the country. And you know, next thing we know, we're playing as residents there twice a week. And then the next thing we know, we get the news that, you know, nationally, Lowe's has a, you know, a very honorable gig. It's a great honor to play. It's called their Live at Lowe's series. And it's featured every Thursday night around the country at a lot of Lowe's locations, and they select, you know, a band or an artist or whatever that that they feel they want to feature, and it's really a great spot. They put a lot of promo into it, and it's a very reputable thing. And they asked us from the national level up to kind of be there. And so as the SJ and Stedman band, we are performing at Lowe's these days, and we will be the featured Live at Lowe's band, I guess our first official collaboration as a titled band together in October. So it's pretty exciting.
Wow. So you actually mean Lowe's, like the home improvement store? Is this what you're telling me?
No, Lowe's Hotels. Lowe's Hotels.
I'm totally kidding. No, it's just my sick sense of humor. I thought, man, if I can go up and get a wrench and listen to you sing, I'm all there. But so
it's an option. If I didn't have such a long day, I might have caught the joke earlier. But
no problem.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
Hotels.
Lowe's has a lot of cash to throw your way. So I mean, let's not mock the home improvement kings and everything. So with Lowe's and everything, are you guys still playing the Van Dyke and stuff with Randy? Because I'm a big fan of the Van Dyke. I think it's a lovely area and a lovely venue to play. So are you still sharing your time with Randy at the Van Dyke, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely. Randy's been he's a godsend down here for the Miami music scene and such a huge supporter of both SJ and my music. And yeah, we're there either independently once a month, or I think this coming month we are actually there as a duo, so which will be the first time we've kind of done that on the bill. And so we're kind of excited for that. But yeah, Van Dyke is amazing. You know, even the slow nights there are still really intimate. Feels like you're playing in your living room, and you can really feel the energy and the heart of the crowd, and you can connect so well with them, and more than you can in most of the venues in Miami.
Yeah, I just played a Van Dyke show actually this week, this Tuesday, and you know, like you were mentioning before, Michael, I mean the listening room feel, it was just amazing. You know, it was an amazing magical night of you know, playing for people, and you know, really appreciative listeners, and I made some good friends and new fans. So yeah, it is a great venue, and we really love playing there.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of you actually ended up playing at Joe's Pub in New York. Is that correct?
I didn't know.
No, it wasn't Joe's Pub. We definitely played at the Bitter End in New York.
The Bitter End, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to go ahead and harp on Joe's Pub, but whoever is doing your bookings and stuff like that, I think you guys would rock in that venue. It's exactly the kind of setting. It probably seats maybe around 60, kind of tight, but it's so tight and interactive, but it's only interactive if you want it to be, but it is a severe listening room. I mean, they are sitting there hanging on every word. So I know we mentioned that before,
great
but
venue.
I just wanted to make sure to remind you on that. But let's go back
venue.
To some... Absolutely. I want to go back to the chat room and thank everybody actually for in chat. We've got Marben, Sandy at C, Smile from Gina to you, Kelly21 and Bear Delaware. She gave me crap for not mentioning Bear. My sister up in Lethbridge and Stephen locked in the bedroom. So quite
yeah,
frankly, let's
group.
Go. Pardon
I'm
me.
On with them now and they are fun to chat with.
I know, they are fun to chat with. These are a bunch of lively women. They travel with me, so they're good people. But let's listen to a little bit of the collaborative efforts of SJ and Joshua with I Am. I love this song, by the way.
I on, wonder why it is that I can swim, but I can't fly. I am counting pennies out in cold, staring at walls, stripped down, naked, soul, socks, and a bowl. I am calling foes, missing friends, watching lives, and trying to find where the new line begins. I am crossing fingers, flipping cards, wonder why truth itself is the best lie. Fake prayers, but most of my so-called sins, I pay them so they don't, I pay them so they do, and for just a little more, I can stay deaf, no blind, lost, and confused. I am falling down, folks. Get into sleep, I lose my head at least 5 days a week. I am chasing away woes and woes, and girls who knows got the ball, folks got how to throw. I am trying to rhythm, melody, and noise, so wonder why heaven never flows. Clearing jaws, settling walls, 'cause tomorrow I won't be here anymore.
Fantastic collaboration, and hats off to Randy on the harmonica. I've never learned the difference on harmonica when you blow out and suck in, how it changes tune. How the hell does that work?
Well, that's a question. That's definitely a question for Randy. It gets you different tones and different, I guess, shades of the notes, but he did an amazing job. You know, he's a world-class harmonica player. You know, we talk about him, about how he's so great to musicians, and he really is connected with the venues. But in his own right, he's one of the world's best harmonica players, hands down. And he came and he did an amazing job on that track and a couple others on my album. And it was so amazing to have both him and Joshua as features on that album. Joshua vocally and Randy on a harmonica. And I'm happy to say that I just got the recent news. I mean, it did not win, but it was a finalist in another one of the other biggest songwriting competitions in the world called the UK Songwriting Competition, and that song was it made it as a finalist. So I just got that word and won some prizes for that the other day. So I was really just blessed and really really honored to have these guys on the song, and I think they really helped make it what it is.
Well, congratulations, my friend. I really adore the tune. I think it's really catchy, and I can hear it. I can hear it in movies, if that makes any sense to you. I really can hear it that way. But Josh, let's start with you. Let's go ahead and tell the people where to find you. I know you're on Reverb Nation. I know you're on Facebook. I know you have your own website and everything. But Mara Bennett has done a great job actually posting everything in chat. But go through where everybody can go ahead and find you, Josh.
Sure. The best place to start is at my website, which is joshuastedman.com. And for those just listening, Stedman's S-T-E-D-M-A-N. And then the next best place is Facebook, / Joshua Stedman Music for the fan page, Joshua Stedman for the personal page. And then YouTube, you can catch some videos, / Joshua Stedman. Those are good places to start, and you can get all the links from there.
Absolutely. Yes, Jay?
Yeah, the best place to start is the official website, sjacoustic.com. From there, you can branch out to a variety of different, social media sites, our YouTube channel, Facebook. You could type right into Facebook, SJ, and I'm usually the first thing that comes up, and you could go to that's a fan page there. YouTube, we just put up a new video today for that song that you played, the second song you played tonight, You're Perfect. We just put up a YouTube video for it today. It's a still shot video, but it's got the lyrics to there. So you could check that out, which is pretty exciting. So that's where we are.
Fantastic. I want to go to the emails right now. I have Annabelle from Phoenix, Arizona, wanting to know, how do you decide which song to make into a video? That's a great question.
Yeah, I guess Joshua, you can take it after me. It's very tough. I mean, for me, you know, the only official music video I've made was for my my single "I Like You," which I felt a lot of people liked, and a lot of people felt it would do well, and it did, you know, chart pretty high on the radio and stuff. So it was a no-brainer on how to make a video for that one. But moving forward, I've got video ideas for a lot of other songs. It's just a matter of, what we want to do and if I can team up with the right people to express, to express that. So I think if I think it can translate visually, then I'm, that's, I guess, my best metric for deciding whether or not to, to do it. Josh?
Josh?
Yeah, the most official video I've done was with Tangled, which is kind of my single. And not so ironically off the album called Untangled, and it was kind of a neat thing because a videographer had approached me because he'd found me online and some other ways and said, listen, I want to do a video with you for Tangled. I think it's awesome. And he came over literally like the night before we moved out of our old apartment and caught me in the Miami backdrop, and I didn't really know what to expect. He wasn't going to put it up unless I liked it, but it was really a very well done video, and so that's kind of where that video Tangle came out of. It was like a 3-hour prep, 3-hour filming, and boom, there it is.
Wow. Question for SJ from the emails. Cindy from California wants to know, who's the blonde in your video for I Like You?
In the I Like You video. That's actually a very good friend of mine, Amber Rochelle Coyle. She's a model and actress. She's actually out in LA now. She was in Florida for a long time. That's where we met. And she's a great friend. And I thought she did a really nice job in the video.
Yes, she did. Actually, the tone of that email seemed a little jealous, so I just wanted to go ahead and point that out. But
there's more videos to come.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about charities and stuff. Let's talk about charities. SJ, are you involved with any charities out in the world there?
Well, what Joshua and I, both of us do on our level down here in Florida is we're both affiliated with something called Musicians on Call, which is a national organization, and we donate our time periodically to go to hospitals and to play music for, you know, people who are in the hospital. I love doing it. It really is just an amazing experience to be able to do that and to be able to touch people who are in, you know, in that situation and their families. And I particularly like going to the children's hospital a lot. And so I find myself going to the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital in Hollywood, Florida. And I know Joshua has done it a couple times alone, like me, and then we've also do it together. So it's another place where we go and we like to collaborate together and play for the families and the kids in the hospital. And then, you know, outside of music, I've had on and off with different charities, but affiliations with different ones at different times. But I am happy to announce that I probably don't want to announce it on the air just yet, but in connection with the hard launch of my album, we will be teaming up with one of the charities that has been very true to my heart for a long time, for many years, and it does a lot of good things in the world. I kind of have my educational background is international. I did a lot of studying in international affairs and stuff before I turned it to all the music. So I'll be making an announcement about an affiliation at some point in the near future. So it's pretty cool.
Fantastic. Josh, I know your song The Gift is actually a national song for a charity.
Yeah, The Gift was a request by the founder of an organization called dailymiracles.org, and which is scheduled to be launching this year and has already been building up quite a bit over the last few years. It's a online organization, global organization, really celebrating the entire concept of paying it forward. And The Gift was a song inspired by that concept that I wrote when I was in San Francisco, and it is the official Daily Miracle song. So that's one of my contributions and my beliefs in the organization and what it can do. I believe it can change the world drastically just from small acts of kindness. The Musicians on Call thing that SJ mentioned is absolutely amazing. I probably cry more than the people who are there supporting their loved ones, you know, while they're recovering from their illnesses. And it's a very touching activity. I'm very inspired by it and love the opportunity to be able to give back to it. And then I'm also participating in Big Brother Big Sister as of recently.
Great.
Hopefully we'll be taking on a little brother. I feel like that is one major way to help somebody grow and also help myself grow, because you don't have to be older to learn from somebody.
Yeah. God, that is so true. So very true. Okay, you guys, I've waited all hour for this. This is my surprise for you. A good friend of mine, Steve Silverman, who's the creative director at Fox Television and also has a web series called Pretty, and you can find it at www.prettytheseries.com. He approaches indie artists like yourselves to go ahead and do a version of the theme song for the series. And we were talking actually last night on the radio, and then I phoned him afterwards to thank him for coming on, and he actually wanted me to extend the invitation for both of you to do a version of the Gumdrop song. The Gumdrop song was written by Brett Silverman, his brother. It's quite hilarious. If you haven't tuned into the web series, I highly encourage you. It's not right in the head. It's just that side of twisted. It's just that side of twisted funny that slaps you. But I said I would go ahead and ask you. I didn't want to go ahead and do it through, you know, Facebook crap and stuff like that. I wanted to actually, you know, build up to it because it's a great web series. It's totally funded by Kickstarter. Kickstarter is a venue where the fans determine whether or not your series is made. So the fans have put together so much money, and this is now going into its third season. This year, on Pretty. They have people like Denise Alexander, veteran from General Hospital, Jeannie Francis of Luke and Laura fame, Melissa Peterman of Reba and the Singing Bee. Tons of stars are actually starting to really catch on to this. So I said I'd go ahead and ask you. So I actually contacted Brett Silverman today. He sent me an original MP3 of the Gumdrop original. It's only in season one. They've done so many of them. So I'd like to play this for you, and then you can determine whether I want to play this song for you first. And then a good friend of ours, Shelly Wren, who does her intros and outros, actually has done a remake of it. So I want to go ahead and play the original first so you get a clue of what it's like, and then play the Shelly Wren song. But hold on tight. This is Brett Silverman with the Gumdrop original.
There is a unicorn, and his name is Gumdrop, and he lives on Gumdrop Mountain, and he likes to eat jelly bean pizza for breakfast. And he has a magic hula hoop, and its favorite number is 8, which just also happens to be my favorite number. His name is Gumdrop the Unicorn, and then last Tuesday he died.
Okay, so what do you guys think?
I think it's hilarious.
I had to put it on mute, so I didn't laugh while I was listening to it.
I was holding it.
That was
that's what they had.
Is that
right.
It?
That's
we
what
have
they had for the entire
verse?
Season one. Yeah, that's what they had for the entire season one. And then he contacted me because Shelly Rand's a good dear friend of mine, introduced to me by Marilyn Bennett down there in Nashville. And so Shelly Rand did one of the very first covers of it. And it's also seen in season two. So this is Shelly Wren. Shelly Wren's a great country western singer. I think she's going to be the next Reba McEntire coming out of Nashville. Fantastic husband, Howie, drummer, but just a brilliant, brilliant woman. So this is what she turned that into. Hold on. That's what she made it into.
So great.
Any thoughts,
it's
Joshua?
So great.
Oh man.
Yeah, we could
try to do and make it into a love ballad, SJ.
Hey, that's a brilliant thought.
Oh man. Or we could do like a twice as fast version and the song would only be about 10 seconds long.
Anyways, I just wanted to go ahead and extend an invitation to the two of you, and you mull it around. If you actually need the line sheet out of that, give me a call, shoot me an email, and I'll have Steve Silverman or Brett go ahead and give it to you if you're interested. But it's a great series and really a joy to watch. Sorry?
Yeah, we look forward to that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Thank you for that invitation. And thank you to is it Ben Silverman, you said? Thanks to him.
Steve Silverman, yes. Yeah. Steve Silverman, yeah. I really think it's going to actually hit either HBO. I think it's going to go kind of that level of cable because it's incredibly off-color and brilliant. It's a parody, basically, of the Toddlers and Tiara franchise where Annette Champagne is a beauty queen. She's 5 years old. But Annette Champagne is really 30. And plus, you know, but I can't say plus because she'll crack me in the head. But so it's the father and the daughter and everything. It's hilarious. Check it out at prettytheseries.com. I think you guys will enjoy it. But, guys, we're out of time. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough
thank
for
you.
Coming on.
You are most welcome. This is Michael. You are awesome. It's always such a fun time and pleasure to be here. I'm so grateful, and thank you so much.
Yeah, Michael, this is always a treat, and really always have a good time chatting with you, and it's great to see the fans chiming in and the listeners chiming in and on the chat room as well. And, you know, thanks again for inviting us.
My absolute pleasure. I adore you guys both. I enjoy following you, but you've been nothing but a beacon to watch. So, again, I'm following you like a stalker, but the good kind of stalker, not the retarded kind and everything. But I want to thank you both for joining us tonight, okay?
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You have a great night, everyone. Take care.
Okay. You too.
You've been listening to SJ Acoustic and Joshua Stebbin tonight on At Home with Victoria. I am Michael K. Weren't they fun? Just absolutely fun, and I would love to hear their takes on the Gumdrop song. But anyways, want to go ahead and thank Josh for joining up in chat, Mar Ben for fantastic chat room producing, Sandy at C from Nebraska, Gina from California, and Kelly 21 just down the street. Once again, you're listening to At Home with Victoria. And yeah, I had a great time. Those kids are just absolutely hilarious. And always worth the chit-chat. Plus, I know a lot of the ladies in there don't mind looking at them because, you know, they're good-looking guys. But anywho, thanks for joining another edition of At Home with Victoria, and God bless everyone.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.